almost Friday.
Almost.
And I'm excited about that.
Not quite, but almost.
I usually say almost only counts during horseshoes, hand grenades, and nuclear warfare.
What does that even mean? That means nothing.
Because if you almost get around the ring in horseshoes, you still get points. If you almost get the grenade on target, you still do damage. If you almost hit the target with a nuclear warhead, it still damages what you're aiming at.
So basically,
those
almost
things you
things,
can almost.
Okay, so the things that you still affect, even if it's not a perfect hit.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. It's a weird saying, but, you know, I'll let you have it.
You've never heard... I added the nuclear war thing a long time ago. You've never heard horseshoe or almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades?
I mean, maybe I've heard it. I'm not sure it's ever stuck with me.
Okay. Because it definitely is something that I heard a long time ago, and then I thought it was just clever to add nuclear war to it, which is just a bigger, more dangerous grenade.
That's an understatement, but...
It is. It is. Do you know that there are, this is weird, but you know there are artillery, you know what artillery is, right? Like giant cannons?
Yeah.
Like, okay. There are nuclear warheads for artillery shells.
Okay, that means
like
nothing
pinpoint small-scale nuclear artillery shells.
Okay, kind of
creepy to think about.
That means nothing to me. You say artillery, well, I imagine cannons, and then you say all those other words, and it doesn't help me.
Yes,
I don't
so
understand.
A shell, the bullet of artillery, what used to be a cannonball,
uh-huh.
Now looks like giant bullets.
Okay.
And we can put nuclear warheads, so mm-hmm. That means the munition, the part that yes. actually does the damage, onto artillery
okay.
shells, which is scary to think somebody using that. Using nuclear weapons in such a small scale because it would still do a crap ton of damage and fallout and all that stuff. It's just, I don't know. You know, nuclear weapons have only been used twice in actual combat situations, both times by us and both times on the Japanese in World War II. But the fact that those weapons are still manufactured and refined, and I don't mean refining the material for nuclear weapon, I mean like refining the technology. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, that is kind of creepy. I don't like the idea of making those things smaller and more easily available for decimation.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's just hope that it's never, ever, ever used
again.
And
speaking of decimation,
ooh,
I am wondering if you are worried about Kevin Smith decimating your idea of Clerks with his Clerks 3, that was a stretch.
Yeah, that was a pretty big stretch. We talked about this a week or two ago.
Yeah,
and
but
I said,
there's more.
Yeah, I know. He's actually, and I'll let you go ahead and describe. Well, let's go ahead and do that. You describe to the audience what you're talking about.
Well, go ahead and let people know what we discussed before.
Okay, so... We had seen a clip from Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, and it dealt with the reboot within the reboot of what is it called? Bluntman and Chronic.
Yeah.
In from the original Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back movie. And me and you were not very impressed with it, and I said, you know, this kind of makes me happy that he's not doing Clerks 3. At that time, we didn't know that he was indeed going right. to go back and do Clerks 3. I was just looking at Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. It just kind of felt like this Smith's time has come and gone. You know, Yoga Hosers was not that great.
Okay, understatement of the year. Yoga Hosers
yeah.
was awful. I love
yeah.
Kevin Smith. Yoga Hosers was not yes. very, was not good.
And I know a lot of people that were, for various reasons, not fans of Tusk. I actually liked it.
I appreciated it because
Red State
it was
a lot.
Weird and different. It was weird
yeah.
and different. Red State, I thought was his most, I think that was him stretching himself at his most. I think that was him actually pushing himself as a filmmaker and storyteller.
Oh yeah, real
even if
challenging
even if it didn't turn
lot.
Out amazingly as much as people wanted, I thought it was a very interesting experiment and I respect him for what he did in that movie.
Yeah. But nonetheless, you can definitely tell that things are different for Kevin these days than they were Clerks 2 on back. And even looking at things like Cop Out, looking at some of the episodes of TV shows that he's directed, you could definitely tell the guy's changed. And maybe not for the better.
Right.
So to wrap all this up, yeah, a few weeks ago we saw that clip, which came a few weeks after the initial trailer for Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, and I gotta be honest, I really don't want him to make any more movies.
Oh, period?
Not if it's gonna be like what Jay, and you know, it's wrong for me to say this because I haven't seen Jay and Silent Bob Reboot yet, but given just, yeah, if it's gonna be more like more of the same, then no, I'd rather not. But then again, he can make whatever he wants and I'll still always have the stuff that he made back when it was good, I guess. But I'm not excited.
On the heels of that, we have, well, first of all, at first, Kevin Smith wrote a draft of Clerks 3 a few years ago. And he describes this draft as follows. That was a movie that was written by a guy who was obsessed with middle age and dying. It was all about death. And that was before I almost died. Then I almost died, and I don't really want to talk about that shit. I've been too close. Now all I want to now I just want to do life-affirming things. The tone is going to shift completely. I owe those guys, those characters, Dante and Randall, a lot more than the kind of doom and gloom I was about to put them through. I love that script, and I love reading it, but there wasn't a dry eye in the house for the last 15 pages, the last 15 minutes of the entire read, which I'm assuming he's talking about the live read that they did a couple months ago. He says, it's a fucking tearjerker. It's like the King Lear of Clerks movies. It's unbelievably moving and sad, but it's not what I want to do with those guys for this. You would have seen the old Clerks 3 and been like, did the guy who made Clerks forget that Clerks was a comedy? So that's what Clerks was before he had a heart attack. Before, but even before that, Jeff Anderson said no, he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do the movie, and that's why they didn't do it. Now, he's had a heart attack, not Jeff Anderson, Kevin Smith, and... He did another draft of it, a completely different rewrite from what I understand, and Jeff Anderson is now on board. But what is this movie about, pray tell? He gave us the scoop, and you can let me know if you think this is a bad idea. Randall has a heart attack, decides that he came so close to death and his life has meant nothing, there's nobody to memorialize him, he has no family or anything like that. And in the recovery, while under fentanyl, he comes to the conclusion at midlife, having almost died, having worked in a movie store his whole life and watched other people's movies, he tells Dante, I think we need to make a movie. So Dante and Randall make Clerks. That's the story of Clerks 3. I'm going to bring my boys right back to where they brought me. I'm writing it. It writes itself because I fucking lived it 25 years ago. It's just the warm. It's just warm and fucking wonderful. They're figuring it out. The way I figured it out, but I have the benefit of being able to cherry pick all my favorite stories and moments of making Clerks and putting them right into their hands. So, with that in mind, Kyle, as a fan of Kevin Smith, as a fan of Clerks, is this how you want to see Clerks 3?
No, this isn't what I, this is really not what I wanted to see. The cool thing about Clerks 2, and I know you and I disagree on some points about Clerks 2, but I liked how it did take them in newer directions, and it was fine to wrap it back up at the end with them taking over the the Quick Stop with them. That was fine to tie it up that way at the very end of the movie, but There was a journey and a lot of differences in Clerks 2. I really don't want to just rehash what already happened.
I mean, doesn't sound like that's... Honestly, the story doesn't sound like it's rehashing what already happened, to be honest. It sounds like he hit another rut.
Go ahead.
They're going to what?
It just seems like they're going to... Because he keeps talking about how Dante and Randall are going to make Clerks. It's the story of Clerks. Kevin Smith talks about how he lived it, and he's going to pick his favorite moments from making Clerks going into Dante and Randall making their movie. I mean, that really sounds like we're going to see a lot of the same
scenes.
Stuff.
Yeah. That's a good point. Like I'm not even supposed to be here today, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I don't want that. I agree. Like, honestly, I wouldn't mind the idea of the story about if he had a heart attack, and then it came him to a realization that I need to do something with my life, and even if that something was making a movie, it just, I don't know about it being Clerks, like, because I mentioned before, Kevin Smith's career recently, so ever since, I guess, Tusk, maybe a bit of Clerks too, even, like, whenever you'd see a lot of his podcasting and stand-up material on in his movies, and whenever that happens, it's like, ugh, I wish I didn't see him already say the same exact thing in a podcast or on a evening with Kevin Smith, and or I wish I didn't know about this story already, because it just feels kind of cheap and reused. And obviously all stories are, but we don't necessarily have that insight, the same insight that we have to everyone else. So this one almost seems like it's going to be a Mondo version of that. It's like, oh, not only is it's going to be all the stories that we know from his entire career, plus it's going to be that movie that we all watched many, many times, you know, growing up as film fans. Good God, did you hear the cat? Jobin, shut up.
No, I didn't actually hear a cat this time.
But yeah, so like, as for me, for someone who doesn't like callbacks and sequels, like I mentioned this last time, I think, where I didn't like the fact that Randall was just like, you know what? You're not even supposed to be here today, and Clerks too. And I was like, ugh, don't want that. That sounds like it's going to be a lot more of that consistently. And it sounds like it could be on the level of that joke in Jay and Silent Bob, by the way, where Tommy Chong goes, looks like this reboot went up in smoke. Like that type of thing, except for an entire movie. I am worried about that. But here is the good thing, though. And this maybe is going to help. I don't think Kevin Smith is precious about Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Would you agree with that?
What do you say that again?
I don't think Kevin Smith was precious about Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Like, I don't think he looks back at it and says, I need to uphold the legacy of Jay and Silent Bob. No, I don't think that was that kind of movie.
I think he was just trying to be as utterly ridiculous and funny and hit a whole bunch of what I'm actually afraid is going to happen with Clerks 3. He was like, because it's a
I was leading to a point.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I didn't want you to go off on your own tangent there. So he wasn't precious about that movie. He had no reason to be precious about Yoga Hosers. He had no reason to be precious about Tusk. He had no reason to be precious about Red State. This is the first movie in a long time where he's actually looking at this and thinking, okay, I have to make sure this one lives up to the legacy of the first two. Now, I'm not saying he is thinking that. He may very well be like, fuck it, I want to do this. This is what I want to do this, and it's going to be fun. He might do that.
Yeah.
But if there is an opportunity for him to look at a movie and say, I need this to be of a certain caliber of a movie, I think this is it. Because we know this would be the one. Because we know that he took Clerks 2 seriously. Whether or not I fully like it or not, I don't think I can deny that he took that movie seriously. And it sounds like this one is hitting a similar emotional chord with him. And I'm hoping that he will say, okay. Because you remember he did those train wreck videos for Clerks 2, where it was like the making of a train wreck or whatever. Because he was acknowledging that this could be a really bad idea. You know, then he acknowledged that it was a bad idea. Even now, maybe he'll do something similar. Like, okay, I'm going to acknowledge this could be a train wreck, but I'm going to do my best, rather than his usual idea of just like, I'm just going to make a movie and have fun with my friends.
Could. I mean, Clerks 2 was way better than it should have been. I mean, when you really look at where you leave off at Clerks 1 and you're thinking of Kevin Smith and his characters and his style as a filmmaker, I remember questioning Clerks 2, just like, what else could you do? And then I was very, very pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. So, and again, we haven't seen Jay and Silent Bob reboot. That tone and everything that we've seen in the clip and the trailers might fit perfectly and have us rolling on the floor. But, I mean,
it also might suck.
I don't want this to happen.
It also might suck.
But it's happening, and I hope it's good. I just don't really have a lot of faith in it. And I could be wrong, but I really don't want to see the story. He could work it in such a way, like you said, with all of that, like, heart and soul going into it, and it could end up being the movie we needed, not necessarily the one that we wanted.
Well, I think the thing is, here's what I think. I don't think Jay and Silent Bob reboot is going to be good, but I also don't think that Jay and Silent Bob reboot necessarily has to be an indication of what to expect from Clerks 3, because he might treat it completely differently. But we don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't. You don't. But I think both and I kind of agree that you and I kind of agree that we're worried about Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Not like worried, but we just don't really have expectations that it's going to be any good. I think both of us want Clerks 3 to be good, even if we are unsure of its direction. Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of potential for stepping in landmines and setting yourself up to disappoint and just having a series of lazy callbacks. Mm-hmm. I just hope that he's smart enough to know that it can't just be that. It has to. And it sounds like he has the idea of Randall actually wanting more is great. Yeah. But like, I don't know. I kind of want to read that other script. I know he, I'm not sure if he does this anymore, but I know he's sold his scripts online before. I want to buy that script for Clerks 3, the original Clerks 3, the unproduced movie, and to see what was depressing about it. Like, what exactly what it was about it.
It would be, and there is some dog barking, so I'm sorry if you guys can hear it. It's definitely not my dog.
I can't hear it.
Some little ankle biter from one of the neighbors. I would be, I don't know if I necessarily wanted to see that movie either, something so sad and depressing, but I definitely do want to read it just out of morbid curiosity.
Yeah.
And it's, what's interesting though, is the fact that he's got Jeff Anderson on board. So that's got to mean something.
I mean, does it mean that Jeff Anderson felt bad that Kevin Smith almost died? Or does it mean that, I actually want to do this because maybe we made
up. It's got to mean something.
Or maybe the script is better. Maybe the script is less depressing. Yeah, I mean, what does it mean? I don't know.
I know. We'll see. I mean, I wonder how long it's going to take him to get it made.
I mean, it just depends. I'm not sure. My guess... Here's my guess. You can let me know how crazy. I think they'll probably be able to start shooting this summer. I bet you it's going to be that quickly.
Mm.
I bet you. Because once he gets you know, that bug in his ear that he wants to get something made, especially a Clerks 3.
Yeah.
And he has everyone on board. I don't think it'll take long for them to start putting things together.
Would you like to see something, another original comedy from him, one not connected to Viewask universe, kind of like a Zach and Miri?
Yeah, I would. I
would you like to see that more than something in the Viewask universe?
To be honest, I don't really, I don't know if I want one more than the other. I think the Viewask universe was great for what it was. I don't really have any particular desire to necessarily go back to it, but I'm also not really against it. Yeah. I don't know. I just want to see him. I want to see him flex his filmmaking muscles. I want to see him do something outside of his comfort zone. And I know he's done horrors and stuff, but I mean, I want to see him like really push himself, like really, really, you know, bring in other people into his circle to try to like say, hey, does this work? No. Okay. Let me change it. Or, you know, maybe not go with, you know, some of the improv on set, maybe kind of, I know he likes to do a lot of improv on sets these days, but maybe split the difference. Do a little less improv. Do a little bit more to the script. Because a lot of the jokes that we've seen from Jay and Silent Bob feel like they were improv, and everyone thought it was funny on set, but not necessarily for me as someone who's watching it.
Are you like a lot of geeks are, where you would love to see him get his hands on a big geek property for a big screen film, a comic book, Star Wars, or... Trek or any of that? But
no, I want to see him do a bigger property. I want to see him to do something, maybe like a $15 million movie or a $20 million movie, something mid-budget that'll make him work a bit more.
Is but 20 also, million still mid-budget?
No, but I mean something
days, like,
but
I was saying like 20 budget. Yeah,
no, I think once 30 million above, I would consider, I think 20 million above, I would consider mid-budget, or 25 million above mid-budget. Personally, okay. I don't think there's any rule, hard and fast rule on what it is. But I mean, I think his most expensive movie was it Jay and Silent Bob? Oh, it was Jersey Girl. How much was Jersey Girl?
And that was because of the actors and actresses, wasn't it?
Jersey Girl budget. I don't know. $35 million. That was easily his most expensive movie. But I want to see him go back to something that costs enough money that someone is breathing down his neck slightly and forcing him to make some changes, but not so much that we don't get to see his voice at all. So I don't necessarily want to see him, you know, do like a, you know, a Flash episode or a Supergirl episode where you don't see his voice at all. You know, it's just another hand for hire. I don't want to see that. I want to see something where it's like, yes, you could see his voice, or you can hear his voice. You could see his influence visually, but also I want someone to be pushing him to do a little bit more than his normal shtick. So I think doing something that costs more money, I would preferably want to see, be it a comedy, a thriller, or whatever. I just don't care. I just want to see something that costs more than, you know, $5 million to make or $10 million to make.
What if he did another, the movie, I'm having a brain injury moment here. No. With Joey Lauren Adams and
Chasing
Ben
Amy.
Affleck. Chasing Amy. What if he did another, not Chasing Amy sequel, but that type of dramedy?
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
I think that's what I want most from him, actually. Something a little bit more serious, mm-hmm. still with that Kevin Smith comedic flair, outside of the View Askew universe.
Mm-hmm. I think I expected like his career to go more in that direction after Chasing Amy, and it didn't.
Nope.
But the problem is, that movie was made for $250,000. Let's say he gave him $500,000 to do another one to account for inflation, right? Mm-hmm. I still feel like it would end up looking kind of cheap. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just because we shoot on digital now and it gives the opportunity for, I don't know what it is. Something about it, I feel like it would look, if basically he took $500,000 and made that movie, it would look cheaper than Chasing Amy did. Maybe it's because, I think, what was that shot on 16 millimeter? Maybe it's that. Maybe I wanted to have him shoot on film just for the heck of it. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I just know that I want to see him, see his career go off in a different direction than it has been.
I know, besides Red State, I know he's got the talent for drama and good story in him. Some of his comic runs have been great. Daredevil, especially, you know, me, I'm a big fan of Mysterio, and he did Mysterio with Daredevil, which was interesting because most people think of Mysterio as a Spider-Man villain. Batman Cacophony, I'm not a big Batman guy at all, but it was Kevin Smith. My wife was reading Batman at the time, and I read through it. Good stuff. I know he's got a good mind for stories. I don't know what's been up with him lately.
I want to see him shoot another 16 millimeter movie.
Yeah.
It's funny. I just saw a video of him. I think watching or reading that made me decide to go back and look up those Trainwreck videos. And I don't know which one it was, but it was him on Clerks 2. And he was talking about it. He was like, oh, I can't wait till, you know, shooting digital is the standard and no one's going to care about something shooting digital and blah, 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 blah. He went off about that for like a couple, like, a, I don't know, 45 seconds or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was funny. He was like, I just want to go to a place where we could shoot digital and not have everyone care that it's digital. And it's just, that's just the way it is. It's like, hello, we're in that world now.
Yeah. There was that transitioning period where you had some filmmakers like really resisting digital, and mid-2000s. Now it's pretty much it's pretty much the standard now, which is I think over, I don't want to say overwhelmingly, but I will say it's a majority good thing that digital is accepted. It's opened filmmaking to a lot more filmmakers because it's cheaper.
It's true,
you know. Smaller studios have been able to produce things that they would have never been able to produce before.
It's allowed people to be more creative.
Yes, absolutely. So, nanner nanner boo boo to all the stuck up artsy fartsy folks. No, I'm joking.
But I mean, I think film does have its place. I think you can use.
Yeah.
It's another artistic choice. It's another way. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't want to think about it, you can go digital. But if you want to think about it. Maybe go 16 millimeter or maybe 35 millimeter. Or if you want to think about it differently, go digital and then run through some kind of filter or do some sort of change to it. I think it's another brush with which to paint your story. But yeah, there's the fact that, you know, the big Hollywood stuff. Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, it really doesn't.
I know from interviews and books and stories that I've read and been told or heard, I know that filming on film makes directors think a little bit more because each frame is money.
Yep.
And
or each foot of film. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. I was just being anal. Don't mind me.
Okay. But film is money. Each shot costs more on film than it does on digital, and that forces them to think more about, you know, angles, takes, setups, blocking. Improv, the amount of improv rehearsals, like all of that goes into putting something on celluloid?
Celluloid.
What's the proper? Yeah, but putting it on film. I was trying to be fancy there. Oh. But putting it on film, it goes. You got to think about it a lot more. And so, yeah, that might be an interesting challenge for Kevin, is to go back and do something on film.
Implementing challenges on Kevin Smith for no reason. It's like, you know, Kevin, take it from someone you've never heard of.
Yep.
We would want you to challenge yourself in this way. And he's like, why? I think the problem is Kevin Smith has too healthy of a relationship with his own mind in order to kill himself over something like this. I think he's gotten to a place where he just does not need to care. And more power to him. Doesn't like, there's no reason he needs to care. Like, he really doesn't. No. And, you know, yes, it would maybe result in better art that people would like more. But at the end of the day, is he any happier? Would he be any happier if he put out a better movie? Like, would that actually add to his quality of life to care that much?
I don't know.
So that this movie is a little bit better or a lot better? Like, no mentally, idea. Does that make him happier?
Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, you get, humans are creatures of comfort. I mean, it's nice to be challenged every now and then, but not everybody seeks out to be challenged, I guess.
I mean, a lot of filmmakers, it's like, it's easy to get caught up in your art. I know Quentin Tarantino talked about all the sacrifices he made in order to do the career he did. And Kevin Smith is just like, why? I mean, I'm putting words in his mouth because I have no idea. But he's like, I can imagine being like, why make those sacrifices when I could just be happy? And do the movies that I want at a smaller scale and not have to feel like, you know, I have the crushing weight of the world on my shoulders. Why not just have fun with it? And then, yeah, I'll make some money for people. Some people will see it. A lot of people won't like it, but maybe it's not for them. And then I just live a happier existence.
Yeah. I can't blame him if that's the way he's doing things.
Christ,
Jammer's dying, everybody.
Oh, God, that hurt.
Who wants to be the new co-host on LR Mornings?
You ever have those sneezes that just like rip up your throat? Ugh.
Yeah, I've actually torn my soft palate from a sneeze.
Oh my God. So. I didn't know you could. Yeah. What the hell is a soft palate?
So, you know, the roof of your mouth, like up front near the teeth, that's your hard palate. And then further back, it gets soft. Mm. That's your soft palate.
Okay. Weird.
Like back there near the uvula, the little dangly thing on the back of your throat.
I didn't know that was a thing. They didn't know the name for
that. That's your soft palate.
Okay.
And the hard palate's got like the bone closer to the teeth.
Yeah. Cool. More you know.
Yeah. Yeah. More you know. Well, what a great conversation, man. I like it. Mm-hmm. We start off with some BS, get into an actual news piece, and end with some
little more insight from J&K.
Yeah. Thoughtful BS.
Thoughtful BS from J&K. Oh, you and I have the same initials as my wife.
And my son's initials are those of the website.
Oh, look at that.
Yep.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be. Lucas Robert Malone. Yep. So, well, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Make sure you're checking out lrmonline.com every single day for all your entertainment news needs. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel. Lots of great things up on there. And, of course, be subscribed to the LRM Online Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts from, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. Great shows, Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast on Mondays, List Fanboys on Fridays, LRM ranks it 90% of the time on Wednesdays. Look forward to an episode of The Last Call the week of the 24th, so just about 2 weeks away. We'll be talking about The Force Awakens, and of course, every Monday through Friday, LR Mornings. Jammer, where can people find you at online?
I think I threw out my back with that sneeze.
Oh, God.
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all of my stuff at LRMOnline.com.
You guys can find me at ThatComAlone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Adios.